This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Back at it, kicking off hour number two here on the Budweiser Sports Line with Longshore and McKnight. Heading up to Tuscaloosa, Rodney Orr is the Tider Insider on our Quick Lane Tire and Auto guest hotline. Rodney, good morning, sir. How are you today? Hello, Rodney.
Uh-oh.
I think Rodney's there. I see the light blinking.
Yeah.
I'm here, guys.
Hey, Rodney, how you doing, buddy?
You know, these touchscreen phones, you hit a button and puts you on mute, so I apologize.
No problem.
That's all right. Well, first of all, let's address last night's NIT loss for Alabama to Norfolk State. What's the takeaway on that? What's the takeaway on the season? And what's the insight into Avery Johnson's job status?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people saying this is emotional. Maybe they're overreacting. You know, that emotional, the immediate response is it's generally pretty emotional, but some people calling it the most embarrassing loss in Alabama basketball history.
UAB game in the NIT years ago wasn't real good.
They mentioned that one, and also I guess it was the 50-point loss or so to Auburn back in the late 90s. But, yeah, those games, obviously this game probably apparently ranks up there with many people as an embarrassing loss. But, you know, listen, this team, you could tell that, I mean, this once they didn't get into the NCAA tournament, I really don't think it was that unexpected that they performed the way they did, because the way the season ended, you know, obviously a lot of negativity and just didn't seem to be a very motivated team.
Rodney, are you aware of any rule that mandates conference schools to participate in the NIT?
I'm not aware of any rule, no.
I'm not either, and I said last week, I don't even know why they'd waste their time. And after last night, it looked like a complete waste of time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think generally that you're going to accept that, as you know, John, that bid. So, but, I mean, it was just, you know, what do you say? It caps off a season that I think a lot of people, most every Alabama fan, is very thankful has come to a conclusion.
Yeah, I would say so. Obviously, there's a lot of rumblings and talk about, you know, the future of Avery and who would you bring in. And, you know, I call it the soup of the day because whoever's the hot coach today, oh, we'll just go get this guy. Yeah. I'm, you know, more wanting to look at an overall track record of many years of work. But I don't know. Maybe that's the cart before the horse. We'll have to see how that all plays out. But basketball is over, and as you mentioned, I think a lot of people are glad that it is. They can move on, and hey, spring football is well underway with a practice yesterday in Tuscaloosa.
Day three, you know, John, very good-looking group of physical, athletic players out there, as you normally expect from Alabama. We talked about some of the weaknesses in terms of the depth situations at tight end and an inside backer, and I don't think we'll really find out many answers about those spots until, you know, we move forward. But Ale Kaho was back on the practice field, the rising sophomore linebacker who, you know, is a guy that's expected to be hopefully a contributor there, a strong contributor at that position. And then also Kedrick James, who I think could be a tremendous tight end. If he can keep himself going in the right direction, he'll face a 4-game suspension next year at the start of the year. But, other than that, John, it's been pretty quiet, to be honest with you.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and it certainly wasn't quiet, was the pro day that they had a couple of days ago. Give us some perspective on just how widespread this pro day was and whether you thought anybody sort of made a move during that event.
Well, you know, I think it's become a pretty big deal here. I mean, it attracts everybody. And I think, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, right on down. You know, everybody in the NFL seems like they're here. When you go out there, it's amazing. You know, the funny thing is you even have guys coming back that have left the program just to get themselves in front of people. You know, David Cornwell, the former Alabama quarterback, you remember him.
Yeah.
He came in. He was the guy throwing to the receivers in the back. So just to get an opportunity to get himself in front of the scouts. But, yeah, that's kind of how widespread it is, Barry. And then also I would say this. You know, I don't know that anybody, you know, necessarily helped or hurt themselves. Maybe Mac did a little bit better. Mac Wilson, we talked about him last week. I think he put up a few better numbers than he did at the combine, and you know, the things that he did. And I think he wished he would have ran a little better. I think he ran, you guys may know it off the top of your head, a 4.67, something like that. It sounds like a pretty good time to me. But I thought he did well. And, you know, numbers-wise, maybe Josh Jacobs didn't put up the great numbers that some people expected. I think he ran a 4.63, which is obviously not a, you know, great time. But I don't know exactly if, you know, Josh is nursing anything that would have slowed him down. But I'll say this. It's kind of like Jack Lambert used to say, you know, throw away the 40 times and the vertical jumps and all of those things and just give me a football player. You know, Josh Jacobs is a football player. I mean, when he's on the field, he plays fast. He catches the ball. He does just about everything you could ask a running back to do and does it extremely well. And not only that, he brings the ability to return kickoffs and play special teams. So I think Josh Jacobs is going to be a great player.
You know, I heard Greg McElroy say something similar to that, Rodney, that, you know, maybe that 40 time wasn't, you know, blazing off the charts, but it's everything else that goes into the type of player that Josh Jacobs is. And Greg went on to say he thinks that he has got a bright future in the NFL because he does so many things so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what running backs are now. They're in the NFL, you know, the versatility, the ability to catch the ball is what he can do. And we saw him this year. I think it was even the Auburn game when he made that unbelievable adjustment down the field, you know, totally turned the looked like a center fielder running a ball down. And just he's got that ability. And there's not a lot of guys out there that bring that. So I think he'll be very valuable in that regard. And you talked about the speed. You know, Emmitt Smith wasn't the fastest guy either.
Right.
But, you know, I do say this, though. Again, I think Josh plays a lot faster than that time would indicate.
Rodney Orr is with us, TiderInsider.com. The reports on TiderInsider.com is that Alabama continues to work offensive linemen up and down the line. Talk about a couple of those and you know, the method behind that madness, a couple of those guys, Matt Womack, Chris Owens, some of those people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first of all, they do this every year, John and Barry, as you guys know. And, you know, the fans get all excited when they see somebody playing another position or working in another position. But, you know, this is one of the things they do. It's for a couple of reasons. First of all, they want to try to find the best, the top five players, the best five fit in those spots up front. So they move guys around, juggle guys around, trying to find the best combination. But also what they do in the process of doing that, they're developing these guys in the event that they have to plug in a guy at a position that, you know, maybe you're a tackle, but they need a guard. And they, hey, this guy's, you know, all of a sudden he's got some experience at guard. He's practiced there. He's worked there. You know, they know the guys that they can plug into an emergency situation, whatever it is. So all of those things, they do that every, you know, every spring or even at early fall camp some. But as far as the personnel, you know, specifically, you know, right now it's, again, they're moving guys around. It's very difficult to tell, you know, in the brief media viewing period, but it looks like, you know, Chris Owens is working at that center spot with the first group. Mm-hmm. That's a huge position. I think that's the one that has to be, you know, addressed most specifically up front. And, you know, we'll see what he can do there. And, you know, Emil Ekior is another guy who's a redshirt freshman who plays guard, plays center. He could, you know, perhaps get some reps there. Darian Dalcourt's a highly, highly recruited freshman in terms of, you know, the expectation that he's going to be a tremendous prospect at center. We'll see how quickly he can kind of make the adjustment from high school. And then left tackle, Alex Leatherwood's working over there. You know, he played magnificently in that national championship game against Georgia when he had to come off the bench. You remember Jonah Williams got hurt early in the second half. And, you know, last year he played right guard and just seemed to be out of position. So they've moved him out to left tackle. And you mentioned Matt Womack working at the guard spot. So he brings a big physical presence there. I know that they want to get more power up front. So maybe that'll be a spot where Matt Womack could really benefit them.
Rodney, it was announced yesterday that the football assistant coaches' contracts were approved. And one thing that stood out to me, the offensive and defensive coordinators have three-year deals. That seems a little unusual. You've heard of two-year deals. In some cases, longer than that. But guys that maybe don't have the track record as some of the other guys, did you find that surprising that Steve Sarkisian and Pete Golden got three-year deals?
Well, I to be honest with you, John, you picked on something that kind of went over my head. So I haven't really had time to take that one in, but I'll say this. I know that they're looking for some stability,
yes.
You know, and hopefully these guys will be here for a while. And, you know, I think that that's probably certainly shows not only Alabama's commitment to them, but, you know, the desire that they want to keep these guys around. And, you know, Golding's a really, really young coach on the defensive side. He was, as you know, defense coordinator at UT San Antonio for a few years. And, you know, Sarkisian, maybe he'll settle in. You know, he's bumped around a little bit. So hopefully this staff, I know there's a lot of hope, and, you know, with the addition of a guy like Charles Kelly, and a guy like Sal Cenceri, you would think, and even Brian Baker on the defensive line, that maybe there's some more stability in terms of, you know, staying around a while.
Yeah, that's what I took out of it, that they're showing the recruiting world out there, hey, these coordinators are going to be here for a while. We got them locked in
right.
For 3 years. That was my first impression.
Well, they're getting pounded. I can tell you this. You know how recruiting works these days? And probably always been this way to an extent. I think it's probably worse now. But you've got some guys in the SEC that, you know, using every edge they can get. And so I think they've probably used those things about the coaching staff. You know, but I think, too, you know, Nick Saban's probably made these players aware of, hey, you know what? Guess what? When you go to the NFL, if you make it to the next level, you're not promised that you're going to play for the same coach every year. So you've got to be able to make those
right.
adjustments if a coaching change occurs.
It's a very good point. Absolutely, for sure. Boy, Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. Always good information. Always a hot time of the year here as spring practice goes along and all of that. How do people get all the information you provide at TiderInsider.com, Rodney?
Well, John and Barry, I'll say it again. It's amazing that spring football practice is being overshadowed so dramatically by basketball right now. But it is on Tider Insider. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card right now. If you prefer, there's an address there. Send a check and get all our premium information. We've got a lot of video on the front page, TiderInsider.com, that your listeners can view for free there. Coach Saban's press conference, practice video. Whatever it might be, Tider Insider TV. And then, you know, on our forums, it's just rolling on the all sports forum. A lot of basketball talk. And again, I expect football will eventually take the front seat again.
You better believe it.
Uh-huh. Always great stuff, Rodney. We enjoy it a great deal. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it, John and Barry. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. Rodney Orr, the Tider Insider, on our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Get.